Brainwag with Sister Bang Bang. Oh my goodness, it's all too much. Whatever next? No way. Welcome along to Chinwag with that painted whore, Sister Bang Bang.
Stand by for lots of malicious gossip and wicked chit chat.
What's more?
Malicious gossip and wicked chit chat. Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
Hello, yes, welcome. This is Sister Bang Bang yet again doing another fantastic episode of Chinwag. And this one's a little different because I'm surrounded by lots of people. There's lots of people sitting, lots of people standing, lots of people holding each other's bottoms. It's really friendly, this atmosphere. And it is the Manchester Drag Symposium. It's called Life's a Drag. And I'm here with the chief organiserette. It's Jez Dolan. Hello.
Hello, Sister Bang Bang. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Are you a little fretful? Are you a little nervous, a little anxious?
I'm all right. It's all going well so far, but it's a bit kind of, you know, it's been me who's put the whole thing together kind of myself. So if it all goes wrong, it's my fault, which is always a bit worrying. So we've got 10 minutes to go before we kick off. We've got quite a lot of people here. We're still waiting for some more people. Everything's set up. I kind of think if nobody dies in the first half hour, that's probably fine, and it'll be fine after that. I always get worried about technology because you just think, oh, it could all go horribly wrong. But yeah, I'm feeling okay. I'm quite excited about it. Somebody has obviously got up at 6 o'clock this morning to put on the full frockage and slap, the lovely Sal Ford sitting over there. We've got visitors from all over the place, which is fabulous. Yeah, it's quite exciting. I'm looking forward to it now.
You're looking forward to it, but I can also tell there's a note of anxious in your voice because most of that was composed of commas rather than full stops then, wasn't it, really?
Just slightly. I'll try and slow my voice down when I get onto the stage, darling,
it's all right,
to address the masses. Yeah.
Now, is this the first ever drag symposium?
Well, that I know of. I mean, I've not noticed any others, really. It's part of the project Life's a Drag, which has been running for the last year and a bit, which is funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund, and is a project which explores the history of drag in Manchester. So we did a theatre show at Contact last February. We did a big exhibition at the library, Central Library, which is where we are now. We've done oral history training. We've done oral history archiving collection. We've done lots of different interventions. We've done participatory sessions with writers. And
God, blimey.
All kinds of stuff.
It is, isn't it?
So there's been lots going on. And this is kind of, I did a project about Polari a few years ago, and we did a symposium event where lots of people who were interested could come and get involved and contribute and talk and whatever. So I thought we'd recreate that idea. So we've got lots of different contributions from academics and artists and producers and all kinds of folks. So yeah, I think it promises to be a really interesting day.
Yeah, you do disappoint me slightly though, Jez, because I came here, I read that it was symposium, but I can't see a string quartet anywhere. I thought it was something musical.
No, symposium comes from the Greek, dear.
Tell me more.
Yes, symposium actually means, well, it means a meeting and discussion and exchange of ideas, but often accompanied by drinking.
No.
As it's 9:40 in the morning, we'll be drinking tea and coffee for the first bit. The more drinking aspect of the symposium will kick in at the end of the day. But it's about an exchange of ideas rather than anything else.
Lovely. And I think that's neatly summed it up, really. It's an exchange of ideas. You've got lots of speakers, and it's a full day as well, isn't it? Which is, you know, you tend to think of these things as 2 or 3 hours and then it just peters away, but this is full on drag, isn't
it? Yeah, full on drag. I mean, I think the hope is from these kind of events that people that meet the presentations are fantastic and will be great. But the kind of, in a way, the interesting stuff happens when people start talking to each other and start having conversations and meeting over the tea and coffee and food and whatever, and going, oh, I didn't know you did that, dear. La la la, and all of that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm hoping people will really get stuff out of it. And we've got, you know, as I say, a mixture of performers and academics and students and researchers and artists and a whole range of people. And indeed, of course, the lovely Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, brackets Manchester House.
thank you. That's lovely to include us in that without him being prompted.
I know. It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah, bless you.
Well, look, all the best. I'm going to catch up with you at the end to find out how you thought it went. Well,
whatever.
Yeah. All the best. I'm really looking forward to this this day, this drag symposium.
Thank you, sister.
Don't touch that dial. Sister Bang Bang. Spoiling it for everyone.
Hi, I'm Sal Ford, and I am a drag queen based in Manchester, and I do a lot of cabaret performance in and around Manchester's gay village.
Sal, why are you here today at the drag symposium?
Well, I'm friends with Jez, and I was been quite interested in just the academic side of drag and the history. I think you always think that you know quite a lot, but you learn so much coming to these kinds of events, and I think there's probably some massive gaps in my knowledge about the history of drag in Manchester specifically. So it's quite exciting and nice to do something different away from perhaps what people perceive to be a drag event, and bringing academia and general people together.
I mean, it mixes the fun aspect, doesn't it, with the historical facts. I mean, we've been shown quite a few newspaper articles, haven't we, about people being thrown into court.
Definitely, and I think a lot of people probably wouldn't know about that. And I think because drag is massive now, I think that's been that explosion of drag, and a lot of younger queens are doing drag now. And I think learning about the history of, you know, where drag started, and actually what defines drag. And I think I was quite interested to see that dictionary definition even today of drag is not what I would regard as drag at all.
How would you define drag now?
That's such a difficult question, because I think drag is so diverse. We have, you know, women doing drag, and there's an argument whether they should be called bio queens or faux queens. Apparently they shouldn't be called that, and there's schools of thought around should it even be called drag. You know, you've got your drag kings. So, and I think you've now got your gender queer. You know, you've got people that don't put on women's clothes, but they might interpret drag in a completely different way. I think drag's such a unique thing, and different performers coming on and interpreting drag in their own unique way is fantastic. So I think it's very difficult to describe drag, because I think it's so different. I mean, my drag is probably a bit more of a traditional drag, but I think there's so many different elements and different ways you can interpret drag now that it's such a difficult question to really define drag. So to me, it's about expression, about self-expression, whatever that means to you. If you want to call it drag, then that's fine.
Yeah, so some people say, you know, drag at the end of the day is a bit like what RuPaul says, isn't it? We're born naked and anything else is just drag. I mean, look at me now dressed in gorgeous nun outfit. Would you say that this is drag?
I would, yeah, because it's self-expression. You know, this is, I mean, I know a lot of people perhaps don't class the sisters as drag queens, but I see it as all a part of the spectrum of drag, really. It's interesting about RuPaul, because she's been in the press quite recently for saying some things that people don't agree with. She won't have, I think her opinion is still that drag is about men dressing up as women. She won't allow, for example, women or bio queens on drag race. Doesn't really allow sort of trans queens on drag race, you know, trans women that still perform drag. So I think drag race, in a way, although it's great, it's still perpetuating probably quite an old school image of drag, which is gay men dressing up as women. And I think perhaps, you know, I know a lot of people that I would regard as drag queens who, you know, they don't fit that mold. And I think perhaps drag race should open up to, you know, there are some great women drag queens, some great female drag queens out there. Why not allow them to express themselves in a platform like Drag Race? I think it's still quite a narrow view of what drag is.
Yeah, I agree, but there again, there isn't something which is definitive, is there? There isn't one person or one authority that states this is drag.
That's it. People think it's rude, but it's not. You know, I think there's so many. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's evolving all the time, isn't it? I mean, in different cities, and different queens come out and they put makeup on and they kind of interpret their character in a different way. It's constantly evolving. I think now's a golden age of drag. I really do. I think it's fantastic, and people are really embracing it. when I first moved to Manchester years ago, there were a few drag queens around, but it was almost regarded as a bit of a passé kind of, you know, it was just the old drag queens, very traditional, very, not very forward thinking. I think drag was something perhaps to be tolerated back then, even like 10, 15 years ago, whereas now it's like the new rock and roll. People love it, you know. And I think drag race has a lot to answer for with that, but I think it's inspiring people to actually get out there and give drag, or give not even drag, but just to give self-expression a bit of a try. And if that's drag, then great.
Sol, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
I'm Kate Trayford. I am a creative writer and trainee producer.
Okay, the big question is, why are you here?
I'm here to just find out more about the drag scene. I'm quite interested in the drag scene and drag king scene. And I'm just looking for some material to help me write.
Oh, in what sort of way? What are you going to end up writing? Will it be fictional or not?
No, it's going to be based on a story from my past. I was just telling these guys, I used to work as a choreographer in a drag bar, and one of the drag queens left out of the blue, and I got roped into the show as a woman pretending to be a man, pretending to be a woman, and convinced a few people, didn't convince many, but I worked there for about 2.5 years as a drag queen.
Right.
And
it's a Victor Victoria, that.
Yeah. The actual real one right here. But it's always interested me. And I'd like to kind of tell that story, but in more of like a performance way. So I don't know if it's going to be a play or a story or a performance yet. It's just, you have to get some material.
You're doing a bit of research on this symposium.
Definitely a bit of research. I'm very interested in the sound scapes, so
right.
I'll be heading to the British Library at some point soon to listen to more of them.
Garth Gratrix, artist and curator.
How would you define drag?
Oh, I get the hard question. Undefinable, just as a disclaimer straight away. Diversification, experimentation and interpretation as words. As an experience, glorious, challenging, and just fun and liberating. So to me, it's because I work in research into queerness and how people interpret language and how you would describe something. So I never really start with a set word about anything. So just being exploratory about something, if drag's a jumping off point, then that's great. So I think it's more about a platform to challenge the way we just perceive in general.
Right. So I'll throw the question sort of back in to you about, would you say you are in drag today? And do feel free to describe what you're wearing right now.
I am wearing a shirt with a vest underneath, which I'm now too hot in. And I'm wearing skinny burgundy trousers and boots with a broken zip. So I would, and glasses, Lagerfeld, and eyeliner, and makeup, BB cream, Body Shop. So overall, I wouldn't say I'm in drag. I would just say I've come as me on a different day. I wore eyeliner last week one day, and I'm wearing it again today. Whether I'm in drag, I don't know. I quite like the idea that I might be if someone thinks I am. That's quite playful. But I'm not coming to make a statement about being in drag either.
So is it a fun thing, or you'd say you're getting away from people making it into a political gesture?
I think it should have a political place, but it should also just have a fuck it and see and go for it. I think it's fine to be both of those simultaneously. I think it's important to get a message across in a playful way, but also just to have fun and allow someone to just play with who they are rather than a set way of being is quite good.
Kirsty Roberts, I'm working the event today and I'm a community curator at the People's History Museum.
What sort of aim is this drag symposium? What is its aim?
To illuminate, to promote, to support. I know they're just loads of buzzwords, but I think they're important ones. Most symposiums are quite academic. I've been to quite a few of them myself as a postgrad, and I think they can exclude a lot of people, and I don't really like the word accessible, but I think that's what today is. He's mixing a lot of different mediums to show and illustrate the diversity of drag, and I really like that.
Right. I mean, I've asked this question a few times about, you know, what is drag? Can you define it? Because it's kind of verging on being undefinable in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Like Garth said, a complete disclaimer, I don't think it's definable, but I think we're all in drag every day. That's something I'm quite interested in, performativity. I think we decide to look a certain way for a certain reason. If we're going to a job interview, we'll dress smart. If we're going to hang out with our friends, we'll dress casual. That's all a performance piece. That's not necessarily yourself. I think we're all in drag every day, all day.
Yay! It's a drag world, isn't
drag
it?
Drag world, yes. Joy
Mama. Hi, friends. It's Sister Indica, your homegirl for life. Not only am I gorgeous, not only am I a sister of perpetual indulgence, but I'm also host of the podcast Joy Bomb. I rant and rave about pop culture, politics, music, TV, and more. I interview all sorts of interesting people and play underground music you probably don't know but should. So what's stopping you? Subscribe on iTunes. Joy Bomb. If it's good enough for Sister Bang Bang, it's good enough for you.
Malicious gossip, wicked chit chat, and nothing but the whole truth. It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Rowan Smith. I'm from Norwich. I'm going to be the arts director for Norwich Pride next year, so coming to find some contacts.
So it's lunchtime. We're halfway through the day, through the symposium. What ideas have you picked up so far?
Well, because I'm researching this subject, there's a lot of stuff I've seen through my research already that's been on here now. But something like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, for example, is a completely new concept to me, that you can have this real family that's like the old families I've seen from Paris is Burning and stuff. Ooh. So it's great to find out that something like that's still heavy and strong in different forms.
We might be a family, but even family members fall out with each other, you know. You know, we bitch, we have a go at each other, we cat fight.
That's different to family fights, because you all revel in that, I think.
Oh, no, we revel in it, dear. We revel in it. We love it. That's how we stay together.
Okay, my name is Daniel Neild. I am a PhD researcher at the University of Chester. I am also postulant Sister Judy DeRider from the Manchester Sisters of Indulgence.
I have to say, you've been looking fantabulosa today, dear.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. It was a little bit unglamorous changing in the library toilets, but it's not the first time.
Listen, you'll get used to that. That's probably on the rate of being glamorous fairly high, really.
Well, thank you. You know, it was quite a roomy cubicle, so it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Now, we're at this drag symposium in Manchester. Mm. You've been up there, you've spouted forth, and pretty much sort of got the majority of people to ask you questions, which is a good indication you were doing a good job. What were you talking about?
I was talking about really my own motivations and reasons and reflections on why I decided to become a sister, which was about this kind of notion of default maleness, and what my own default maleness does to me and what it prevents me from doing. So I used the example in my talk of playing a Shirley Bassey record whilst I was waiting for a plumber to turn up, and the minute the plumber turned up I couldn't turn that record over and play side B even though I wanted to, because I was kind of thinking, well, what's he going to think of me? And it's about thinking how I can personally combat that, but then also how the sisters can combat those kind of dynamics that go on in the world, and by kind of breaching gender boundaries and allowing people to express themselves more fully.
Is there a close association with gender and drag in this respect?
Yes, there is. I mean, there is an idea. You've got different schools of thought on it and different opinions, as with everything else. So some people would suggest that drag is kind of an insult to women in the sense on one end of the spectrum. Then you've got another end of the spectrum which is saying, you know, actually drag is a celebration of the opposite gender. So it's not necessarily women. It could also be a drag king, you know, inverting that possibility. Although I've never heard of anyone saying a drag king is insulting men. And I think that's because of the privileged position men have. So people don't tend to think of it in those terms. For me personally, I think doing drag is an exploration of gender fluidity, and an exploration of the idea that actually gender is fluid and we are fluid in terms of how we approach life and each other. And I think it's a fun time in terms of gender, and especially for drag. And I think we're seeing a return of drag now because people are more expressive of themselves than they used to be. We're losing some of those older kind of notions about what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman. And I think we're all the better for it. And I think drag has been a big part in that.
But also sisters as well. You know, we get accused of being misogynistic because of the way we dress, or we are against the church because we dress in such a way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that idea of being against the church isn't true at all. I mean, when you think about what the sisters do, actually, I would view it as being an homage to the work of nuns. In that sense, you know, one of the things I've been looking at recently was testimonies by people talking about the sisters in San Francisco during the AIDS pandemic actually going in and treating and feeding patients in the hospitals because the hospital staff wouldn't. And then there's another example of that from an LSE talk by, I can't think of his name at the moment, but the old Bishop of Edinburgh, who talked about a woman who used to do some, who was a nun who used to do something called, she used to write notes from the watch, and she used to lie with people who were dying of AIDS in Edinburgh just to be with them. And one of the things that she had to deal with there was dealing with people's fears about what God would think of them when they were dead because they got AIDS through drug use or through being gay or being promiscuous or whatever. And I think that the sisters actually play to and deal with those same issues, yes, in a different way, and yes, we employ comedy. But I think comedy actually works as a way of opening people up to talk about those issues before they get to the deathbed, which I think is important. And I think it kind of recasts the role that religion can play in terms of actually opening people up rather than shutting them down.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
Hi, I'm Tim, and also Timberlina, and we run Mother's Ruin with the lovely Lisa Lee.
What's been wafting over Tim and Timberlina today?
Well, I've just been really enjoying the ideas of fluidity. You know, this whole nonsense of, you know, is drag bad? Is it sort of knowingly misogynistic? And, you know, ooh, down with the gender binary and, you know, men and women. And it's all just been a bit more lovingly intertwined than that. And also historical, which is also ticks a lot of boxes for me, you know.
Mm. So it's just fascinating,
isn't it? Yeah, really, really fascinating.
The history of
cannot get enough of queer history.
And I think also it sparks history in yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly makes me start to think of some of the historical drag stories that in Manchester.
And I think it's really easy to not think about it in an historical sense. Because, you know, when we're having our kind of existential angst, which is very much in the moment and dealing with the world around you, you know, recently I've kind of decided that this year, it wasn't a resolution, it's just happened, but I've decided I really want to get back into sort of queer magic and the idea, you know, loving serendipity and radical fairies and this whole thing. And I've got this beautiful book at home, a photography book. Again, a tomb of archive, if you like, of this American radical fairy outfit. I can't remember that. I think they're somewhere in the Black Mountains of Tennessee. Anyway, so it's all these characters, and they're beautifully photographed, all in black and white, obviously. But they're all just talking about what it means to be a radical fairy. And a lot of times it's them saying, well, you know, I'm neither he or she. You know, being a radical fairy is an opportunity for me to express both the he and she and dress as I feel like it, but also to feel part of this legacy, you know. I feel like I'm part of a line of, you know, of a family of queer individuals who have always existed and always will be. And it's like looking at that third gender, which I find really exciting. And then, you know, and that also kind of becomes primordial because it's something that sort of like, you know, kind of Native Americans have this idea of the third gender and all this sort of stuff. And I just get very excited about it. So I like the idea that we're looking at drag very much outside the confines of what it's, how it's usually portrayed.
Absolutely. You know, you just oozed it all over me then.
Thanks very much.
I felt very well. Do you know, you'd realise actually, just as a slight aside, the sisters did spring out of the radical fairies.
Yes, exactly. And I was saying to Lisa last night, because we were kind of plotting and planning and sort of thinking a bit, and I said, do you know, it is really strange, because I've always loved the sisters, and I've always had an affinity, and I've always felt slightly in awe of them, and I've always wanted to somehow work with them. And it's not until I sort of stop and think, I think, oh. And when you all turned up, like, en masse at the last Mother's Ruin event, I was a bit like, oh, oh, it's happening. I just think it's just amazing. And I think there's a beautiful kind of, well, like we're doing right now, entwining in each other.
We're like boughs of a tree and twigs.
Yeah, we are. Exactly. Yeah, all of that. So yes, it is, and it is magical. It does make me feel magic.
Well, you know, we must talk more, I reckon.
I think we will.
I think there's a zzz going on here.
There's a zzz,
isn't there? Yeah, and we need to expand that zzz into
it. Yeah, we do. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
For now, though, Tim and Timbalina, merci beaucoup.
Ah, no, yeah, as always.
Well, my name's Adam Lowe, but I'm here because I'm an academic. I'm in masculinities, and I look at non-traditional masculinities. I'm particularly interested in this event because I'm looking at a sort of second study to my PhD, which might involve something called non-hegemonic masculinities.
And whoa, this is like serious stuff, isn't it, Adam?
It's pretty high end. Yeah, it's right. Yeah.
So how does the fact that there's a drag symposium here help you?
Hegemonic is basically as a term, kind of refers to dominance. So it's hegemonic masculinity is this idea of masculinity based on dominance.
I can do dominance.
But the structure of hegemonic masculinity basically describes the structure of the patriarchy. Yeah. So my hypothesis is that there's a potential non-hegemonic masculinity that is a kind of rejection of the hegemonic hierarchy, the rejection of patriarchy. I can't do small words. I can't do it.
You can't, can you?
It's just a hypothesis. So I'm here to sort of figure out whether or not there's any sort of validity to that thinking and see if there is a study to be done there.
So it's the end of the day now. We've all had a fantastic time. What other things have you got out of it?
I had the opportunity to speak to some really lovely, interesting people, listen to some really interesting conversations, met you guys, met the sisters. That was very nice. I've also got a meeting out of it. I'm going to be meeting another academic to talk about my work and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's been excellent.
Hey, kids, you know that every episode of Chinwag is done completely free. Doesn't cost a penny or a dime. And it's just one of the many ways that we sisters try and entice you to donate money to good causes. So, if you have a few pennies to spare, please go now to our website at www.themanchestersisters.org and just click on one of the donate buttons. Every tiny bit helps, and we rely on your generosity. So donate now at www.themanchestersisters.org. Thank you from the bottom of our goodly hearts.
You're listening to Sister Bang Bang's Chin Wag.
Hi, my name's Chris DeBray, and in May this year, I'm celebrating 40 years in showbiz, in this business we call show. 34 of those years has been doing drag. And the interesting fact about music halls and fun pubs is, in the music halls of the 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s, the interesting fact is, for every drag king, there's 10 drag kings, there's only one drag queen.
Oh, right.
Isn't that a weird fact? And yet, when you twist it around and look at the fun pubs now, and the fun pubs of the 80s and 90s, there was no drag kings, hardly any, maybe one, two. And even now in the 21st century, where I work in Blackpool, or as we like to call it, La Poule en Noir, if you look there, and I said, go and have a look for a drag king, you'd probably be pushed to find one. Maybe the odd one who's done the odd drag king number as part of an act. It's drag queens. So in 100 years, female impersonators have become prevalent and male impersonators have died off in a lot of places.
This drag symposium which you're at today, actually you're one of the few drag performers, aren't you, today?
I think most of the people are academics. I'm quite a crossover person. Yeah. You know, I think I'm a bit bi. I'm a drag performer, I'm a drag performer, but I'm also an academic. Right. You know, I think a lot of people who know my work don't realise that I actually have a master's degree and hoping to get a PhD this year, but I can still be camp doll.
It's Jared, and I'm also novice sister Polly.
Hey, novice sister Polly!
Hello, dear.
Great to have you on board. So it's all done and dusted.
Uh-huh.
We've been to the the drag symposium. How was it for you?
It's been absolutely fabulous. It's been a really, really good day. I mean, we've had speaker after speaker just really giving us a fantastic overview of drag, where it is historically, where it's at now.
So what's it mean to you, personally?
Oh, okay. I think for me, being a theatre person, I'm someone who's been brought up with loads of different styles of theatre, and I practice loads of different styles of theatre, and gender's always been massively central to everything I've done. And about 10 years ago, I used to teach theatre, and the style at the time was neutral theatre, you know, theatre where you got rid of costume departments, you got rid of masks, you got rid of props, and I found that really, really reductive, and I was always in my own work, whilst also teaching in those kind of zones where there was nothing but a bare room. I was in my own work going and doing lots of performance with all that, and for me it's really nice to see drag coming back on the agenda in all sorts of ways.
What is drag to you though?
Is for me, there's always an element of gender playing, gender crossing within it. It's also a style of theatre for me that's about being very immediate, being very responsive, maybe being a bit rude, maybe being a bit, you know, a bit leery, a bit off the wall, a bit cheeky, a bit saucy. It's a form where there's always a rapport with the audience, but you stay in control of the audience in lots of ways. So you represent strength in some ways, you represent a certain authority in a very positive way. But it usually, at some level, you're representing a community that's been pushed to the margins, that's been kind of, you know, maybe displaced. For me, drag's at the fringes. It's always at the fringe of anything or at the in-between.
A bit like the sisters in a way.
Yeah. I think we're drag. We're fringes. We have many fringes. You have beautiful fringes, darling. I'm always admiring your little fringes.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. It's all too much. Whatever next?
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
So we come to the end of the Manchester Drag Symposium. It's been an absolute treat to listen to all these voices, sort of finding out what worked for them, what made it tick. Now, do you remember right at the start of Chinwag today, there was that lovely young boy called Jez. He's the organiser, and he just was such a bundle of nerves. Well, I've got him back again. He's on the Prozac. He's calmed down a little. How did it go, Jez?
It went very well, thank you, Sister Bang Bang. We're now at home, which is charming, and the various gathered faithful and such are having a glass of wine, which is very charming. The response has been incredibly positive. It's been fantastically diverse content of the day. And people coming at the kind of subject matter from lots of different directions, and has provided lots of things to talk about. And I think it's been really useful, and the feedback's been fantastically positive.
What do you reckon was the purpose of the day in your head?
I think it was really just about an opportunity to bring people together who might not necessarily otherwise meet and discuss such things. To think about drag as a starting point. Drag's a very big set of stuff, you know, and people approached it from lots of different starting points. So from the sisters' perspective, or from a more academic perspective, or from a drag performer's perspective. So there's lots of different ways of kind of thinking about it and reading it and interpreting it. And I think with these kind of events, it's the presentations are one thing, which they've been today they've been fantastic, but it's all the other stuff that goes on around it, which is about the people having conversations, going, I didn't know you did that. Oh, you're interested in this. Oh, fabulous. We should talk. Let's make a date. Let's go for coffee. Blah, blah. All of that kind of stuff. And that's hopefully something that will really come out of today, is about connecting people with each other.
And it's just reminded me from what you said there is, not only has it been a great drag symposium, but we have two people who are interested in becoming sisters, aspirants.
Which is entirely fabulous. Yourself and Sister Polly, obviously, are in total manifestation bitch mode.
We really rode that car for what it was worth, didn't we?
You did. You were fabulous as always.
Highlight of the day, if you can possibly narrow it down.
I think it would be... I don't think I can pick out a highlight particularly. I think the fact that that people stayed for the whole time and they were really engaged and really talked to each other and really engaged with each other. And obviously, and you know, when I talked to people throughout the day, they were all being really positive and saying, oh, I've really got loads out of this day. And that's great. That's really important. That's what it's for.
Fabulous. And is there going to be another one next year? Is this going to be regular now?
Not if I have to organise it.
Well, I can help you. I'll make it camp and glittery for you next year.
Yeah, well, on you go, dear. That's fine.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.